Good morning. 7:20 a.m. on March 16th, 2012. It's a lovely morning, 36 degrees this morning. It's a bit on the nippy side. It's not terribly cold. I've been wandering along listening to the latest Living Proof Brewcast. I do love listening to Thomas and John Taylor talking about all the things that they find of interest as they're enjoying their beers. It's particularly cool for me because Thomas is drinking a beer that is one of my absolute favorite beers from a local brewery here in Denver, the Great Divide, and it's the Claymore, which is a wee heavy Scotch ale, which is very rich in malty deliciousness. It's delightful. And the fact that I have them to thank for turning me on to craft brew, and they're drinking one of the beers that I like, is a little added incentive, a little added delight. And Doc Coleman did a Talking on the Walk on the Shrinking Man project. I heard just a few minutes of it, but I've subscribed to his podcast now. Not necessarily because he did a shout out to me, but because I think he's doing some really interesting stuff, and I really need to shrink. So, getting out, getting active, paying attention to diet, all big things, all very important. What else? Oh, the big news. The big news. About an hour after I posted to my blog, the Solar Clipper blog, about, you know, and I've gotten no response from anybody at Ryden. And within 45 days, something has to change. Robin Sullivan comes online, and she's come online pretty much with a vengeance. This is really the first time that I've seen her come up and actually participate in any significant degree. She's had some pretty serious medical issues, and it's between all of those and the implications that they bring, she hasn't really been able to do much. She did comment that sometime real soon, and she did give me a when, which is an unfortunate time because I'm going to be away, but in theory, the next book should come out relatively quickly. I don't know exactly when, but we'll see. My boots come untied. I never had as much trouble keeping boots tied as I have with this new pair. I don't know if it's something with the lacing, something with the clumsiness in my boot tying technique, or what, but it does seem to want to come untied a lot. So, yeah, Robin surfaced. If she stays surfaced, I shipped some books yesterday, some hardcover orders that apparently had been laying around for a while. They went out to yesterday. They'll probably be in the truck out of town this morning. So there's something. And so that's optimistic. I'd like to think that we were going to get this back on track, and I don't have to spend any more time worrying about that. I spent the entire day yesterday, pretty much all day, dealing with taxes, dealing with the 2011 profit and loss statements that we need to get together so that we can file our taxes. And it's astonishing how much time it takes. I know there are a lot of people who spend a week or more doing it, and it only took me about a day. But it was a good day. It was a good opportunity for me to organize what happened last year and to begin to make some plans for what's going to happen in the coming year. I think I actually did enough estimated taxes over the course of the year that I'm not going to owe a great deal of money at the end of the year. The IRS will be happy, and if the IRS is happy, then I'm happy. So yeah, we're off on a good foot this morning. I did a little more writing last night. I took my netbook with me to karate class, so while elder daughter was in kicking butt, I was writing names. It was. I'm still trying to get a handle on this story for Bulldogs. I got like another week. I've got to get this rough draft over to them and get it off my plate before my edits come back from riding and I go away for a week. And the other thing I did yesterday was talk to a guy named Cliff Ravenscraft, who has a couple of podcasts out. He does a lot of the same sort of thing that I find a little bit irritating with podcasters, and it's count every episode as if it were a podcast. He's published 5 or 6 different podcasts, about 300 plus episodes over the last 6 or 7 years. So he's been at it a while. And he's the new track chair for Blog World Expo New York, the track chair for podcasting. Now, podcasting is allegedly going to take a more prominent role, and they're trying real hard to get people who are not the same corporate shills to come and talk, to come and represent the creative perspective on podcasting rather than the marketing perspective on podcasting. It's an interesting challenge for them because, try to get the cars out of the way. It's an interesting challenge because they're fighting an uphill battle in terms of credibility, particularly in the podosphere, because they have done so poorly in the past that it's just almost laughable. Last spring's conference with the guy who's a podcast consultant but who actually doesn't do podcasting, and then last winter with Lynette doing the one in LA, and basically spending a lot of her time crapping on what she called amateur podcasters who really don't have any place in a business convention, which was kind of awkward. And she also, while she's done podcasting in the past, doesn't have an active podcast. If you're going to have a podcast chair and you want any kind of credibility, it seems to me that you have to have a podcast chair who's, you know, actually podcasting. It's just one of those things where, you know, you don't have a medical convention and have people who aren't doctors come talk. You don't have lawyer conventions with people who aren't lawyers. So why are we trying to do this? And the answer is, when you look at their front page, when you look at the people who are signed up to speak, every single one of them, I probably shouldn't say that because there's probably one, there might be two, who are people who are not in the business of selling something to the audience that this conference is geared to. And this is what the biggest problem that I have with it is that almost every person who's scheduled to speak sees the audience as a potential client base. Now, while that's probably true of fan and science fiction conventions as well, the reality is that the reason people come, the reason authors come, is to make connection with their fan base. It's, to a certain extent, perhaps to grow it a little bit, and to understand that, for the most part, what they're doing there is connecting with fans who already know them, with the hope that perhaps they'll pick up a couple of more. Now, there's a big difference from somebody who is working with a fan base and somebody who is selling a product, particularly if the product is consulting services. Now, most of the authors that I know of don't go to conventions on the hopes that they'll get writing assignments, which is, or get hired to write a book. I know authors go to, quite often, to try to connect with agents, to try to connect with editors, to try to sell their work to those people. But those authors aren't the ones who are on stage. Those authors aren't typically the ones who are sitting up in front and holding court with a panel. And I tried to talk to Cliff about that, and he says he agrees, but the problem that I've got is that Cliff is also a consultant. That's how he makes his living. He's a podcasting consultant, and he gives a lot of content away for free. He does some really interesting stuff. I'm not gonna fault him for that. But the credibility issue in terms of Blog World Expo is humongous. He's after me to try to come and talk, and I've sent him a couple of ideas. I don't know if I can do it or not, and I've been pretty honest with him about. I'm going to Balticon. Balticon is like the week before, so the idea that I might do Balticon one weekend, fly home, and then fly back to New York for the next weekend, that's a pretty tough order. That's a pretty tough sell. My wife is certainly not pleased with it, and her response is, well, you either have to choose Balticon or choose this one. Which one is it? And the answer is, well, there's no choice there. It's Balticon. And the question is there a way that I can do both? And I really don't know. I really don't think that there is. I've sent him some topic ideas, ideas that have to do with things that are of interest to people in the podosphere, like how do I find an audience? How do I start an audience? How do I grow an audience? How do I use social media? What is niche marketing? What's the difference between push and pull? I mean, these are all technical terms in describing the channels. And the interesting issue here, looking at from my interactions with the Northern Colorado writers, is that they don't have any idea of how to go about finding and growing an audience other than to listen to the people who are primarily the speakers who are at this conference promoting mass market tools for micro market channels. And while they do work, they're terribly expensive, they're very time intensive, and they aren't very efficient. So it's a kind of a weird thing. They really need to hear some other kinds of stories, but as long as they have the corporate shills, they're going to hear the same kind of stuff that they hear everywhere. And so why do they need to go to a convention to hear that? It's a very difficult issue. It's a very troublesome kind of topic. So we'll have to see. I'm not holding out a lot of hope. I thought when I was talking to him on the phone yesterday that perhaps I could make that work. And sitting down with my wife last night, I realized that, no, I'm going to be gone for a week here, starting on the 24th. And then at the end of May, I'm going to be gone for 4 or 5 days. And the idea that I'd be gone for 3 more days to go to New York, even staying through is problematic. Because even with the holiday weekend, even with everything sort of coming to the cusp of the year in terms of kids in school, etc., for me to be gone for that amount of time at that point in the year, to be gone for that amount of time at all is problematic. But to be gone for that amount of time at that time of the year, that's ugly. That's going to be a problem. So we may have to wait and talk about doing Blog World LA. So I sent, anyway, I sent Cliff a couple of ideas for panels, things that I thought needed to be included in the podcasting panel, particularly ideas that he talked about people have asked for, like how to do a good interview. I suggested he contact Sean Farrell and Cliff and Moses Syrgard, Adventures in Sci-Fi Publishing, because between the two of them, they do an awful lot of interviews, and for the most part, they're really quite good. I also did a lot of non-business podcast blogger kinds of folks. And we'll see what he follows up with. I know he's chasing down a couple of names, including some names that you all know. And whether or not they're going to be able to attend, I don't know, in large part because Balticon, one of the biggest presences for podcasters on the East Coast, is happening the week before. So, you know, it's like, geez, you're asking a lot. I think you're also asking a lot because the New York market is so close to the Baltimore market that a lot of the people who might be podcasters around Baltimore are going to go to Balticon. Although I have to remember that there's a lot of podcasters who aren't science fiction and fantasy podcasters. They're not speculative fiction podcasters. There are other podcasters outside the narrow sphere, and I'm sure some of those will attend. So we'll see how it works out. We'll see how it goes. Dogs. But at least the dialogue is opening up. At least they understand that there's a credibility issue that they need to overcome. I don't think they're going to overcome it by putting more track chairs in who are consultants, who are looking for ways to fill up their Rolodex with potential customers. I think that's a big issue. And the other side of that is that those of us who use podcasting in our business, who have social media as part of our marketing models, are busy doing our own business. And so to take out a month or even 2 months and all of the work that goes into organizing a track to enrich someone else's coffers, that's a lot to ask. So on the one hand, I appreciate why consultants get tapped to do it. On the other hand, by tapping consultants, they shoot themselves in the foot in terms of credibility, which means that it's that much more difficult to get people to show up. It doesn't help that the cost of a ticket is pretty large. So I'm almost back, which is good because I'm thirsty. I want my breakfast. It is Friday. Tomorrow is St. Patty's Day. It's a beautiful morning. Jeez. Oh, look out, kitty cat. Yeah, spring's in the air. I say that'll probably snow tomorrow. We've had snow on Easter before here. It was not uncommon in Maine to have snow on Easter. The Easter Bunny was the snowshoe hare. Quite lovely. I don't know if I'm going to get much work done today. My wife is going to be home from work today. I have to break up the day in the afternoon to go pick up kids. Even though my kid isn't at school, I've got to pick up the neighbor's kid. It's part of the reciprocal trade agreement we have for transportation with the neighbor. And kind of a pain in the butt some days. Most days it works out pretty well. It's a fair trade agreement. I like it. It works out for me. So I have a lot of people around today, a lot of interruptions, a lot of opportunities for people to say, well, you're here, can't we do this? Yeah, well, it happens, comes with the turf. I'm at the back gate, though, and tomorrow is another day. I'll talk to you then.